Probably every person in this room, in Columbia, watching online, we would all agree that we love a good story, like an epic story. That's why we binge watch things on Netflix. Who watched Breaking Bad? Anybody watch Breaking Bad ever? Yeah. The Walking Dead. Walking Dead, yeah. I'm not going to ask about Game of Thrones. I don't want to know. But we all watch certain things because we love to get wrapped up, caught up in a good story. The first story, I'm saying that because the first story I ever got caught up in, I was in elementary school, and I can remember getting our teacher would read to us a little bit every day, and I remember getting caught up in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And that, to me, I just remember thinking, Charlie's got to get the golden ticket. And Augustus Gloop can't get it. And Veruca Salt's she's a bad person. Like, I remember the OG movie, like the Gene Wilder, not the Johnny Depp little demon-possessed little things running around. I'm talking like Gene Wilder, Oompa Loompa, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This was an epic story. Now, the next story I really remember getting caught up in, if you're from my generation, you probably experienced this too, was Star Wars. How many saw Star Wars in the movie theater? Yes, these are the old people right here. Notice my hands up, by the way. Now, I think you would agree with me if you're a Star Wars fan. Episode 4, 5, and 6, epic. Episode 1, 2, and 3, Episode 7, 8, and 9 is like somebody took a dump on the Star Wars franchise, but that's just my opinion. And then Karis, her generation, if you're in Karis's generation, your epic story was Harry Potter. How many saw the movie, saw the movies or read the books? It's okay. In this church, it's okay to tell the truth, okay? In other churches, they're like, no, but yeah, it's okay. I saw all the movies twice, so I wouldn't have to read the books because it's too much of a commitment. Now, this is where people ask, and some of you have heard this before, who was the better villain, Darth Vader or Voldemort? And that's not even a difficult question. It was Darth Vader. Because Darth Vader took over the universe and Voldemort couldn't take over a high school. So I rest my case. Let's pray and go home. There's some people like, nah, you just... I say all that because all of us love an epic story. We love a great story. Here's what I want to tell you. God really does want to write an epic story in your life, through your life, and for your life. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus Christ did not die on a cross so that you and I could live boring, irrelevant lives. He did so that we could live abundant life. Now, this next part, if you're a church person, it's going to make you a little uncomfortable. And if you see this on the internet, clipped out of context, you can stick up for me, hopefully, because this is going to get clipped out of context, okay? What I'm about to say next is going to shock some people, but just give me a minute. I think we overvalue heaven. See, you feel that? Like that's like the oh crap moment. You brought your friend. You're like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he's drinking again, but he might be, and we're not sure. And oh my God, stay with me. When I first became a Christian, I was super excited about people coming to Christ, and we had this thing called CWT, Continue Witness Training, where they train you how to witness, to share your faith. And this is how we were taught to lead off a conversation with a random stranger about Jesus. This was it. If you were to die tonight, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven if you died? That was the question. In today's world, that question don't work. Let me tell you why. Because if the first words out of your mouth to me is, if you were to die tonight, I am punching you in the face because I feel like you're going to try to, that feels a little bit threatening. And Jesus, if we're honest, didn't say a whole lot about heaven. He didn't. Read through the Gospels. Find me where Jesus talked about or described heaven. He doesn't say a lot about it, but you want me to tell you why? Because I don't think our human minds could understand it. It would be like me going home, Judah, he's almost 2 weeks old, me picking Judah up and saying, son, listen to me. I'm gonna put your college fund in the S&P 500. There's this thing called compound interest. Listen to me, boy, pay attention. There's this thing called compound interest. And over the next 20 years, it's gonna grow at a rate of 8 to 12%. If it grows at a rate of 8 to 12%, by the time you can buy a college, by the time you get ready to go to college. Could his brain comprehend that, yes or no? Then why do we think our brains could comprehend what our Heavenly Father wants us to know about heaven, this side of heaven? Now, all that being said, I'm pretty excited about going to heaven when I die. But I'm not ready to die. Jesus Christ didn't just die on a cross to get us off the earth and into heaven. He died on a cross to get himself out of heaven and into us. He died on a cross not so one day we die and everything gets better. He died on a cross so that you and I can have a full and rich, abundant life. Full of things like what, Pastor P? Well, I don't know. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control for starters. Are you interested in any of that? So the reason I'm talking about all this is because Jesus wants to write an epic story this side of eternity in your life. And the reason I know that is because, well, in adopting Judah, I've learned, or Shannon and I have actually learned a few things about God's love for us in this process. And I'm super proud of myself because we got 4 points today and all of them start with the letter I. That's the Baptist in me, okay? They all start with the letter I. Charismatic will come out in a minute. I'll take a lap. All right, here we go. If you're taking notes, write this down. When it comes to the subject of adoption, when it comes to the subject of God's love for us, the first thing I want you to know, number one, is it is intentional. Intentional. Now, I'm going to give you time to write this down because I'm going to ask a question that requires a hand raise. How many people in this church, listen, everybody, tell the truth and shame the devil. How many people in this room have ever made what you or your spouse would describe as an impulse buy? Raise your hand. Come on, raise them right now. Raise them all over the hand. Yes, praise God, I see that hand. Thousands are coming. Why don't you, I mean, yes, impulse. Y'all, remember how hard it used to be to make an impulse buy? Okay, for those of you that are my age, you'll get this, but for those of you not my age, you used to have to like put on clothes and leave your house and go to this place over here called the mall. You can Google it. Or find it in museums. You would have to walk into a store. You would ask if they had your size, and you would sit there and go, "Oh, do I do it?" Today, snap! Buy now. How many people have ever bought something and forgot you bought it? Okay, yeah. Oh my gosh. Me too. I've got 17 pounds of beef jerky. It's a true story. The reason I bring this up is because it's easy to make an impulse purchase, but just so you know, adopting a baby, not an impulse buy. It's not like we went to QT and walked in and went, "Oh my gosh, they got Slurpees on sale and they got some tacos and a baby." And so that's what, it wasn't an accident. It was very intentional. For those of you that weren't here 5 weeks ago, let me kind of share a little bit about our story. And for those of you that were here, it's a review. Shannon and I were trying to have kids, and our first thing we tried was IVF. Now, let me pause. It's always a woman. Always a woman. And this is what she says to me every time. IVF ain't natural. And my response back to her is always, if you want to talk about something that's not natural, let's start with your hair color. Right? So we tried IVF, and we had 4 embryos, and we had 4 miscarriages, and it sucked. In fact, if you were here 5 weeks ago, you heard me stand on this stage and tell you that I was mad at God. I was confused. I was upset. I didn't understand. I was in a valley. And we talked about our valley experiences and how some of us have those experiences. And some of us are even in a valley today because of just things going on around you. Maybe a choice of, maybe it's a combination of bad decisions that you made and things that you that have happened to you. And but we all get in those valley experiences. So we decided to adopt. And when I say intentional, the paperwork for adoption, it's unreal. And I've got to brag on Shannon for just a second. My wife, she crushed this. She filled out all the paperwork. She made sure that all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. We got everything we needed. We got everything sent in. We had to get stuff ordered. She took care of all of it. It was absolutely amazing. And then we met with an adoption agency and attorneys and all this stuff. And we were told this is how it works. We give the adoptive mother three portfolios. She picks the family that she wants to have the child and you meet. And so we matched with a mother in Oklahoma. And we had plans to go, and we got a call on July the 2nd. It was a Wednesday night. We were walking in. It was date night, and we thought, this is the call. The baby's been born. We're going to Oklahoma, and we were told there was going to be no adoption, and we were devastated. We wept. We didn't cry. We wept. And I got on the stage, not the following Sunday, but the Sunday after that, and talked about that experience. And when I got on the stage, I had no idea what God was doing over here. Some of God's best work is done off stage, where we can't even see it. In fact, somebody here needs to understand that what you're going through right now, it's not going to crush you. It's going to get you to the place where God's going to bless you in ways that will absolutely blow your mind. And he's at work right now. And if you could just get a glimpse of what he's getting ready to do, it would put some wind in your sails. I had no idea. So I got up and preached that message. And about 3 weeks ago, we got a call. And it was our attorney. And she said, hey, there's a birth mom. And she's talked to us a little bit about her and said, we would love to submit your name as one of the three possible families that she could select. And we were like, yes. And we just knew we weren't going to get chosen. We got a call the next day. She picked you, and the baby is due next week. What the front door just happened? I mean, So a couple weeks ago, we drove and met the birth mom. She lives in another state, and some of her family, and we had a dinner together, and it was super nice just to kind of get acquainted. And when we left, we still weren't sure, so we weren't telling a lot of people. Shannon and the birth mom hit it off. And the birth mom doesn't speak a lot of English, and Shannon doesn't speak a lot of Spanish. So they used Google Translate like it was going out of style, because Shannon went back to see her the following Monday, and she said, I'm just going to go spend the day with her. I was like, you do that, and I'll stay home, and I'll work. And she texted me later on that day, and she said, the mother's having contractions. Now, if you know anything about a woman having contractions, it can mean one of two things. Number one, the baby's on the way. Number two, the baby will be here in 5 years. I mean, it just happens. So I was like, okay, let me know when y'all know for sure the baby's on the way. So that Monday night, I was laying, and you ever been laying on the couch and you hit that spot where you're just about to go to sleep and it's so sweet and you're just kind of falling into like the angel's arms, and then the phone rings and you sit straight up, and it was Shannon. And I said, hello. She said, the midwife said, if you want to be here when your son is born, leave now. I don't think my feet hit the floor. I was like, pow! I grabbed a briefcase. I got in the truck. It's a 2-hour drive. I made it in less than 2 hours. And I got in the room, and I'm there, and she's having the contractions. And again, and she had some nitrous next to her, and they told her, they said, you can hit that nitrous after every contraction, it'll make you feel better. And she was like, I don't want it. And I was like, can I hit it? Can I? And then they said, well, she's about to give birth. They asked me, would you like to be in the delivery room? And I said, hell no, I do not want to be. No, mm-mm, nope, nope. I saw a film in eighth grade in sex ed class, and I, some of you women are like, coward. You were drugged, sweetheart, okay? You had an epidural. You're like, do it again. So, but here's what you need to know. When I held him after he was born, when Shannon held him, when we were holding him, it was intentional. It was, that nothing was accidental. He will never, ever, listen, he can say a lot of things about me as a dad. He can accuse us of a lot, of, as I'm sure all our kids probably can do, but he can never say, you don't love me. Because I can say, son, I got a story for you. Me and your mom pursued, and let me tell you this. When I was holding him, and it was just me and Shannon in the room, and I was looking at him, I said, you know, I get it now. I understand why we had to go through 4 miscarriages, and I understand why the last adoption worked, because if none of that would have happened, we wouldn't have this miracle. God knew what he was doing the entire time. The reason I bring that up is because if you're here today and you're a Christian, as you look back over your life, God's always been there. He's always pursued you. He's always been very intentional. Even during the times in your life where you thought that he wasn't there, as you look back now, you can clearly see it. He was actually there the whole time. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ and you're like, well, I'm not sure that God is intentional about pursuing me, I would very lovingly just want you to pause, and I want to point out the fact that you're here listening to a sermon about a God that's pursuing you, and that's not an accident. God is intentional in his pursuit. Not because he wants to mess our lives up, because can we be honest? We do a great job of that all by ourselves. But because the Bible says in Romans 8, where Paul writes about adoption, he said, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. In other words, God doesn't want us to be full of fear. He goes on to say in the rest of that verse, instead, you received God's spirit. Let me pause. Next week, I'm gonna teach a message that I've been working on for a year. It's a one sentence prayer that will absolutely change your life. And I'm not saying this because I read it in a book, and I'm not saying this because I found it online. I discovered this last year. I've been praying this one sentence prayer every single day for the past year, and God finally said, now you can preach on it. Listen, if you are content in your walk with Jesus and you don't want it to go any further, you have permission to miss next week. In fact, you probably don't want to be here at all because this is going to mess some people up. Back to the message. Okay, that was commercial break. So you receive God's spirit when he what? Let's say it on 3, 1, 2, 3. Adopted. Oh, so God adopted. And adoption's intentional. That means God was very intentional in pursuing us when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. Now this is kind of cool, and it's a little bit of a Bible nerd fact, so just stay with me. The entire New Testament is written in Greek. But Paul, for this one word, Abba, goes back to Hebrew, which is the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The Jewish people would have spoken Hebrew. In fact, they still speak Hebrew today. Abba, the best translation of it in Hebrew is daddy. In other words, it gives us a relationship with God. He's not our master, he's our father. And he didn't adopt us so we could be slaves. He adopted us so we could be sons and daughters. I'll put it this way. Shannon and I weren't sitting around one day going, you know, She didn't say, babe, you know what? You are getting up there in age, and one day we're going to need somebody to cut the grass and take out the trash and do all the work around here. So let's go adopt a kid and make him work. That wasn't the intention. Now, he's going to do all that, but that wasn't the intention. We pursued him very intentionally, which leads to number two. Number two is irreversible. Irreversible. It's kind of like, well, husbands, it's kind of like when you say something to your wife, and as soon as it goes out of your mouth, you go, oh, she will never, ever forget it. And she hasn't. It's several years ago. Y'all know how that we got that feature on our email now where you can send an email, but then you can unsend it? That didn't exist 15, 20 years ago. I worked with a group of people. There's about 20 of us in an office. And there was a husband and wife that worked together. And the husband sent out an all-staff email because he had misplaced something. So he's like, hey, has anybody seen this or whatever? And the wife replied to him with a reply that is appropriate for a wife to send to a husband, like an image for a wife to send to a husband. The problem, true story, is she hit reply all and did not know it till everybody in the office 10 seconds later went, whoa! And you can't undo that, right? We've all been in places where we've done things or we've said things that we cannot do. Here's the thing about adopting Judah. His name on his birth certificate is Judah Wesley Noble. That's written on record, and it cannot be changed. It's irreversible. He is our son, and we're super excited about it. Now, this is where it translates to us, because there are people in this room going, well, God wouldn't want me, or God wouldn't want anything to do with me because I'm jacked up and I'm messed up. Well, that is true. You are. And when you become a Christian, guess what? You're still going to be jacked up and messed up. If you meet somebody that's perfect, they're either pretending or they're high. Both are problems, okay? This is why we're told in this next verse, verse 16, Paul said this, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to be like, listen, you belong to God. I belong to God. Not because we're perfect. Parents, think about when they were newborns. Were they perfect? Not even close. Judah, okay, let's be for real. Judah has not made our lives easier. He's sweet, he's cute, and he's a potential terrorist. That's what I think. He could be. We don't know yet. Before we had Judah, Shannon and I could be like, want to go to dinner? Now we say, want to go to dinner? Probably never going to happen, but let's talk about the places we used to go. Y'all, I told y'all last week he peed on me. This week, took it to the next level. Peed on me and Shannon three times in a row. We got it stopped, and then he went again. We got to stop. I was going to stick him out front like one of those little fountains, you know, the little boy where he just kind of pees, because I was like, son, what are you doing? You pee. He peed out last night. Not trying to be gross, just telling y'all, Shannon's got him. We're changing his diaper. He crapped in her hand. The people laughing are the parents. I mean, because you know, right? Now, this is what I did not do. I did not lay him in his little bassinet and say, listen, boy, We're nobles. We've got high standards. Well, we got semi-high standards, okay? Let's be honest. We don't act like that around here. We don't pee on people. We don't poop on people. We don't wake people up in the middle of the night. And if your behavior don't change, you, my friend, are out. Nobody does that to a newborn. Now, if they're 28, that's a problem. We need to have a conversation. But we don't love him because he's the perfect child. We love him because he's ours. God doesn't love you because you're perfect. God loves you because he created you in his image. You bear his likeness, and he put eternity in each one of our hearts, according to Ecclesiastes 3:11. So when I tell you that it's intentional, it's very intentional, and God loves us so much. In fact, let's go to this next one, number three. This one will be fun. Investment. All of us have made significant investments. This was adopting a child. It's kind of like having a child, but a little bit different. Same but different. It's an investment. It's an investment in time. So when Shannon called me that Monday, got my truck, I get to the hospital, I walk in, kind of do my thing. And when they said, do you want to be in here? I was like, no. And they said, well, you can go wait in the waiting room. Well, I'm an introvert. I didn't want to go to the waiting room because I was scared that somebody might come into the waiting room and then I got to have this weird conversation. What are you doing here? I'm having a son. Aren't you? You look old. Yeah, well, you know what? I will wear your butt out. We in the hospital. So I didn't want to have, so I was just like, I'll go sleep in my truck. And I got down to my truck. And I got in the back seat because I got like a front, I got quad cab thing. But I forgot that we had put the car seat base in the truck that morning. And it wasn't coming out. Because once you get the car seat base in, it's there forever until the child. Listen, for those of you that said, I have never cussed, put a car seat base in and come talk to me. You ain't that godly. So I'm in the truck and I'm curled up. As much as a 6'6" guy can curl up, and I'm trying my best to sleep, and I slept for like 30 minutes, and I woke up, and once you turn 50, about every 30 to 45 minutes, you wake up and think, thank you very much, I gotta pee. I didn't wanna walk back in the hospital, because there's the guy peeing. So I was like, you know what, it's dark, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, nobody's out here. Not making this up. I said, I'll just pee beside my truck. So once the stream started going, I look over to my right. There's people walking the track, staring at me peeing. I was so delirious, I just went Forrest Gump on them. I went, that's my boat. Don't have to make this up, it's true. Got back up in the hospital room, holding the baby. We got in the hospital room. Shannon didn't sleep for 36 hours, so she's not talking in complete sentences. She's like, So that evening, Tuesday evening, I started to smell something pretty bad. It was rank, and I was like, oh, what is that? And I was like, oh God, that's me. Y'all, this is how much I love this child. I went to Walmart on 2 hours sleep. Went to Walmart. Walk around looking like a crackhead from The Walking Dead. Which is awesome because I blended right in with the people at Walmart. And I just, I bought some stuff. And then this is how I knew God was in it. I left Walmart and went to McDonald's. And the shake machine was working. I'm like, Jesus is in this. And then, just to be not completely transparent, because the dollar figures aren't Let me just say this. I grew up poor. And when I say I grew up poor, I'm not talking about like I couldn't, I didn't get the latest iPhone. I'm talking about food stamps poor. I'm talking about homeless poor. I'm talking about trailer park $40 a week poor. And so because of that, I've always worked pretty hard to make sure that not only are we not in debt, but I've got this amount that as long as we've got this amount in the bank, I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable. And when I say this amount, I'm not gonna call the amount because some people in the room be like, oh my God, that's a lot of money. And some people be like, I could just write a check for that. By the way, if you think you can, I'll take it. But think about the amount that would if I had that amount, and don't be ridiculous, it's reasonable. But when we started this process, we had well above that amount. But when you go through a couple, you go through four miscarriages with IVF, and you go through one failed adoption, and you try a second one. Let's just say we are well below that line. And I'd do it all over again. In fact, if it cost the rest of it, I would spend the rest of it. Because he's worth it. And so much more. And so are you. Because watch this. This is what Scripture says. Scripture says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs, not his slaves, but his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. People have asked me, what does that mean? I don't specifically know, but it's got to be awesome. Right? Heirs of God's glory. And then it says in verse 23, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children. Adopted children, it's not like we get some of the rights, we get all the rights. And it's mind-blowing because I'm not trying to be anybody's hero by telling you we paid a lot for this adoption to happen. I'm telling you, this right here was absolutely, or he was maybe 30, 35 minutes old when that picture was taken. And I remember getting in the room with him that night and holding him. And for the first time, he opened his little eyes and he locked eyes with me. And the verse popped in my mind, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And I thought, there's no way I could give this kid up. For the sin of the world? Mm-mm. My love for him was so strong in that moment, and it pales in comparison because God loved us so much, he gave his son Jesus, who died on a cross to save us from our sins. And Jesus loves us so much that he didn't come to earth and make a donation on our behalf. He gave his life. So we could have eternal life in heaven, but abundant life on earth. Which leads to number four. Some of y'all are doubtful that I could do it all with eyes, but I did. Individual. Now, all of us here, we might put ourselves in groups, but we have individual choices. Like, for example, I'll prove it to you. We got football season coming up, can't get here fast enough. How many people would identify as Clemson fans? Carolina fans? Okay, now my people. Alabama fans? Yep. Georgia fans don't matter. I saw a Georgia meme the other day. It was, what's their coach's name, Kirby Smart? It said 28 wins and 30 arrests. Too soon? Screw it, it's Georgia. What are they going to do? Anyway, football. Oh, yeah. Listen, ice cream or donuts? Ice cream, can't have both. Ice cream or donuts? How many are ice cream? Donuts? How many people are like, screw it, why can't we have both, Pastor P? Why can't we have both? Yes. Coke or Pepsi? Coke? Pepsi, communist. Okay, that's good. Okay, I just want to see. We all have individual choices. We're each individual people. We make individual decisions. And in this room, there are two types of people. Now, let me pause real quick and just do a disclaimer. And I got to say this. This is where the adoption metaphor kind of breaks down just a little, because Shannon and I, we love Judah. We love him so much. And we chose to pursue him. But at the end of the day, when it comes to our salvation, there's a group of people within Christianity. And this group of people, and you might be in this group, believe that everything in life is predestined, including the people that do and do not accept Christ. And everything is predestined. And I just want you to know, number one, I'm glad you're here. Number two, I'm not with you on that. I'm not. Number three, I don't want to argue. Number four, I don't care if you leave pissed, because you were predestined to leave pissed if you leave pissed. I believe it's a choice. I believe we have a choice. What are we as individuals going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with Jesus? The types of people in the room, letter A, is those who have been adopted. Because Jesus took care of all the legal work when he died on the cross. He paid for our sins. He dealt with our guilt and our shame. And all we've got to do is say yes to this man named Jesus. And listen, when I say yes to Jesus, I'm not talking, because I could walk out here, I could preach a sermon on hell, I could scare everybody and say, pray this prayer if you don't want to go to hell. And we would all pray the prayer, because nobody wants to go to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's been a time in your life where, to the best of your ability, you understood, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord. For me, it was May 27th, 1990. I remember the time and date and the place. Some of you remember you were 8 years old at Vacation Bible School at your grandma's church. Some of you, maybe you're 12 years old and you went to your mom or you went to dad and they led you to Christ. Maybe you were in a Sunday school class. Maybe you're in this room. I don't know, but you know that there's been a time where you said yes to Jesus and invited him into your life. You've given your life to Jesus. And I just say yes and amen. I'm praying that. Oh my God. I've been praying that for Judah. In fact, my first conversation with him, Shannon was asleep. I was holding him in the hospital room, and I just told him, I said, son, I know you can't understand a word I'm saying right now, but I wanted the first conversation that I ever had with you to be about a man named Jesus who died on a cross to save you from your sins. And one day I hope and pray that you'll receive this man named Jesus into your life, because he's changed your dad's life and he changed your mom's life. And one day I hope he changes yours. That's real. And there's a second group in this room. There's the second group, and that's the group that can be adopted today. Meaning you've never given your life to Jesus. As you look back over your life, I'm not asking you, have you always been in church? Have you always been a good person? Have you always tried to read? Do more good things than bad things. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, as you look back over your life, has there ever been a time where you said, yes, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be my Lord, be my leader, be my Savior? Just, you don't have to clean up your life. Listen, it starts with us saying yes to Jesus. He's taking care of all the paperwork, all the legalities, payments been made in full. All we got to do is say yes. And when we say yes to Jesus, we get, yes, eternal life in heaven, but abundant life here on the earth. So y'all stand and let's pray together. Jesus, right now with heads bowed and eyes closed in this room, in Columbia, Jesus, I just want to thank you for every single person in this room that at some point in our life we've said yes to you. And we know today, Jesus, we know, there's not a doubt in our mind. We know that you live inside of us. Might not be perfect, but we know we're forgiven. And Jesus, I want to pray for those in the room that might have doubts, might be wrestling today, or that know they need to pray to receive you, that right now you would give them the courage to say yes. And right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed all over the room, if you want to pray and ask Christ to come into your life, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer from this stage, and I'm gonna invite you, if you wanna say yes to Jesus, to pray this prayer with me, but I'm gonna ask you to pray it out loud because I want you to hear yourself declare these words, because I want you to believe today and not doubt. And don't worry about feeling all singled out, because here and in Columbia, we're, as a Second Chance family, we're gonna own this prayer book, because everybody's gonna pray it out loud with you to know, so that you will know you're encouraged and supported by every single person in this room. This is for the person that's never received Christ. This is the person that's been wrestling with it. You need to nail it down today. Just pray this with me in Second Chance family. Let's let them know that they're not alone. Just say, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the grave to pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Now right now, with heads bowed and eyes still closed, if you just prayed that prayer, something amazing just happened. A transformation just happened. You literally became a brand new person. So before you leave today, before you walk out of this building, I would love the privilege of praying with you and praying for you. So do me a favor right now, all over this room, if you just prayed that prayer with nobody looking around, if you just prayed that prayer, would you just shoot your hand straight up in the air and leave it up, because, and keep them up. Keep them up high. Keep them up high, because I want to see them here in Columbia. Keep them up high, because I want to take just a second and pray for you. I'm looking around the room slowly. They're coming up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Praise God. Keep them up. Keep them up. Columbia, keep them up. Put them straight up. Put them straight up. Put them straight up. Jesus, I want to thank you for every single person. You can put your hands down. I want to thank you for every single person that God just raised their hand, that just accepted you today. Jesus, just stepped into your family, that just became brand new, that today I pray that they would feel a sense of excitement, a sense of newness, a sense of purpose to know, Jesus, that you died on a cross to give us an abundant and eternal life. And God, I want to pray for those in the room, God, who still might feel like they're in that valley season. God, they're stuck in a valley and they can't see a way out of it. God, that you would let them know right now, Jesus, that you're at work. And no matter what they're going through, you're about to turn it around in their life. You're about to turn it around in their career. You're about to turn it around in their relationship. You're about to turn it around when it comes to depression. You're about to turn it around when it comes to anxiety, that Jesus, you are at work and you are good and you are God and you are in control. And God, we don't know when you're gonna do it or how you're gonna do it, but we know that you're gonna do it.